the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Thank you very much for all the feedback. Really enjoy getting feedback. Loads of people getting loads out of these, so that's awesome. Today, what I wanted to talk to you about was a couple of things I've just been going through myself just recently. So the first thing I've been struggling with, actually, and I'm sure it happens to everybody, but just getting started, like getting your day started just in the last week or so, I've really, really struggled. And I get to the end of the day and I look at what I've done for the day and there's not that much done, you know. It's just getting started and just being bothered enough to be able to go and do it. And actually, one of the things that I have managed to do with a podcast, because I really enjoy doing those, but some of the other stuff that I know I should be doing and I'm really not doing, that's the stuff I'm talking about right now. So that's the stuff I'm sort of struggling with. And I don't know if it's something I'm going through emotionally, something I'm going through mentally and so on. But I do recognize when I speak to clients that sometimes they also go through this, and it's really interesting because deep down, we're all exactly the same. We all have stuff that's happened to us in the past. We all are at different levels of success to some extent. And one of the problems for me is that when you reach a certain level of being comfortable, actually having to go out and work really hard is actually quite difficult because you don't necessarily need to go and do that. You know, when you've got debt collectors knocking on your door and your phone ringing off the hook, it's really easy to go out and pick up the phone, go knocking on doors, walk into people's businesses and ask them if they want business, if they want help with a business, whatever that is. And it's really easy to do that because your back's against the wall. You've got no other choice. But when you reach a certain level, I go through stages, and I'm sure other people do as well, of just finding it really, really difficult. So I just wanted to explain two things that I do when I get to that situation. And it's a mental thing, okay? So I'm not always in that situation. In fact, it happens quite rare. But when it does happen, I find it really frustrating. So look, I'm guessing this happens to other people as well, right? I'm sure lots of experiences I have happened to other people, but nobody ever talks about them. So that's why we do the podcast, so we can talk about them. So the first thing that I do is if I'm just struggling on a day-to-day basis, a week-to-week basis, what I'll do is I'll get a sheet of paper and I've got one main thing for that day that I need to get done. Just one. Not 20 items on that to-do list. I'll just take the one item that I know actually what's going to make the biggest difference for me. What will make the biggest difference if I implement that in my life? What's going to get the biggest result, the biggest return? And sometimes it's as little as just getting off my backside and going to the gym or the outdoor basketball court as we do here in Spain. It's beautiful. I get sunburned, so I've got to watch it. But just getting up and getting out of the house, because I live here in Spain, I'm on my own during the day, the four walls are closing in from time to time. Sometimes I'll work down at the beach, or from a coffee shop or on the terrace. But like we've just gone through winter and it's too cold to do that right now. So I'm sat at the computer. And sometimes it's like I look at what I've done for the last hour and I look up. And I end up not having done anything. Just checking Facebook and Twitter. Now, I know for a fact that you guys are doing this as well. I absolutely know that this is what goes on. And it's really difficult sometimes to not get involved in that, you know. I'm going to talk about Facebook and Twitter a little bit later on because I've got a little bit of a rant about it. But on that to-do list, get the one main thing and look to get that done within the first 2 hours of your day. Now, if you can get that done, what that does is it sets you up for the rest of the day. Now, some people say get the worst thing and do that first. And whilst that may get some results, my issue with that is I like to get a nice, easy win. So, for example, an easy win for me would be to go on an app on the iPhone, for example, like WordSwag, and I would create like a picture with some text on it with a link back to my website. And that would be a nice, easy win. It's something I can do. It takes 10 minutes. I can do it sat on the sofa. or in a coffee shop, I'm walking the dog, but it's a nice, easy win. I love the idea of getting easy wins. So I remember reading about a director, a film director, what his technique was. On the very first day of filming a big film, he would film the first scene, and whether the scene was good or terrible, he would go, "That's awesome, folks, that's a wrap." And that scene would be done. Now, sometimes the scene wasn't done perfectly at all. It was really bad and there was all sorts of stuff going wrong with it. But he would then come back to that scene and refilm it later. And the reason he would do that was he wanted the rest of the people in the film to go, you know, "That's a wrap, that's done, let's move on." So everybody else then thought, "Wow, this guy's really moving forward quickly. Awesome, we're going to get through this," you know. And it was that nice, easy win to just to go out and get that first thing done. And I think that's what you should do as well. So this is what you do. In the first 2 hours, you go and get a nice, easy win. I don't care what that is. That can be just, like, if it's checking emails, you see, emails, you can get bogged down. Emails are like Facebook to some extent. You can definitely get bogged down with that. So don't do emails necessarily. You might want to read through and just skim them. But actually, you want something that's productive. It could be writing an email to your mailing list, for example. Or it could be creating a graphic. Or it could be posting something inspirational out via an app that goes out to all of your social media, for example. And then after you've done that nice, easy win, then do your big thing of the day. And this is what's going to happen. Once you've done your nice, easy win, you feel good about that, and then you're on to the next big thing, and you get that one thing that you need to get done, by 11 o'clock, you're done. And by 11 o'clock, you're like, "Well, maybe I go for 11s or an early lunch." And if you want to do that, then you can. Or you can go to the gym, or you can go do whatever. And let's say you go to the gym, and you do the gym for an hour, and then you come back, and then suddenly you've got your first thing done, you've got your second thing done, you've done your fitness, and now you're into the afternoon, you've got lunch to get, and then you're starting to feel pretty good, because now you're actually getting through your day. So then you've got the whole afternoon. So maybe you want to break that down into two or three small things. So that's the first thing that I would always suggest, is to go and just write down whatever's on that to-do list. Get that first item that's a big thing and get that done in the morning. Once that morning thing is done, then you've got the whole afternoon. And look, if you're going through some sort of mental state right now where you're depressed in some way and you just can't be bothered doing anything, look, that's fine. We all go through that from time to time. I don't know if you're sort of aware of that. And I don't know if it's just me that happens to, but that happens to me too. I think it happens to everybody. I'm constantly speaking to people where everything's going really great and then suddenly, bang, poof, like this black dog of depression. And they don't do anything for a day or two. And I just think that's totally natural. I just think it's totally natural. So don't force yourself to do those lots of things on those days. Do a few things, but take care of yourself. Go to the gym, go for a walk on the beach or in the park, in the pouring rain, go for a run, listen to your iPod, whatever that needs to be, then that's what you need to go do. It shouldn't have to be working 80-hour weeks every single week for the rest of your life, because that is not conducive to what you do. And in fact, you know, when I look at how many hours I work, and it's really difficult to say how many exact hours I work, because it's sometimes work, sometimes I don't, sometimes it's fun. Like we're doing a video edit right now, and I'm doing it myself because I love it. It's loads of fun. I could outsource it, but why would I do that? Let them have all the fun. So I want to do it myself. But just getting that stuff done yourself, and if you're going through one of those black dog days, and it's fine to go through a black dog day, and it's fine to stay in bed, and it's fine just to switch on Netflix for a couple of hours. If that's what you need to do, then go do that. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about was just about the time management aspect. So once you're getting over doing this, like this big thing in the morning and getting that done, in the afternoon, you might want to time manage a little bit. So between 12 and 12:45, maybe 1 o'clock, it's nice and easy for me to talk about. So between 12 and 1 is lunch. Between 1 and 2 is writing an email out to your list. And maybe you want to book that in for every day, or every 3 days, or every 5 days, every Friday, write an email out to your list, whatever that happens to be, but book it in between 12 and between 1 and 2. And then between 2 and 3, what else are you going to do? What's on that to-do list? Get the biggest thing that's going to make the biggest difference in your life and put that in between 2 and 3. And then the next item, what's that going to be? Put that in between 3 and 4. And actually, when you start running your time management system like this, like when you sign up for coaching, we've got a whole system dedicated to time management. And it's based around this system of just allocating tasks. There's a whole bunch more to it than the 5% I've actually given you there. But when you start doing this, the amount of work that you actually get through is significantly more than you've ever done in the past. Because everything is allocated. Everything on that to-do list gets done because it's all being allocated a time. And not only that, you actually run out of stuff to put on your to-do list so you can watch Netflix more, or go to the gym, or go for a walk in the park and listen to your iPod in the rain, or whatever it happens to be that you need to do. So if you are going through those times where you're just struggling, it's okay. Relax. It's perfectly fine. I know you feel like, as an entrepreneur, that every minute is important because time is the one commodity we never get back. Right? We've heard it time and time again. And exchanging time for money. Listen, everybody exchanges time for money. Donald Trump, love him or hate him, has exchanged his time for money. Of course he has. There's no other way of doing it. President Obama is right now, I suppose I could use our Prime Minister, but he's a tosser, so let's use Obama. So President Obama has exchanged his time for money. Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, has exchanged his time for money. That book didn't write itself. He sat down and wrote the book. Yes, he only had to write it once and then go back and do like rewrites and whatever just to do editing and so on. But he still had to exchange his time for money. We have this concept for some reason in entrepreneurialism that we always have to be outsourcing everything that we can do. It's bollocks. If go do the stuff that you enjoy. If you enjoy writing, go and write. If you enjoy doing video editing, do it yourself. That's what I do. Yes, I could outsource it to someone else, but they'd have all the fun. And yes, it could save me 5 hours. But what else am I going to do in those 5 hours? Watch Netflix? Possibly. But just watching Netflix all the time isn't a good thing either. So you can start to outsource stuff, but you've got to take responsibility for doing the stuff yourself. If you need to phone your database up, pick up the bloody phone, get on them, phone them up and ask them. Yes, you could outsource it, but get on the phones and do it yourself. You feel so much better for doing it. So the other thing I wanted to talk about in this podcast was just about social media itself, because we sort of touched on it earlier on. And I've got a few issues going on right now with social media, and I've really cut back on my social media use. And for a number of reasons, actually. One was I had an argument on Twitter. And having an argument on Twitter, you're limited to 140 characters, so there's only so much you can say. But then the other thing is that you're having an argument with someone who, first of all, you've got no idea who they are. Second of all, you've got no idea what their educational experiences are. Third, you've got no idea whether this guy knows how, or girl, I should say, knows how to tie his own shoelaces or not, or has an IQ of 70. You have no idea any of this. And so what happens is that this social media sort of sucks you in. And a couple of comments, and we went on for a good couple of hours, and I thought I'll entertain this, because I was trying to explain a point of view about being a property investor. And one of the comments that was made was that when houses get repossessed from property investors, that because the UK government owns the banks, that property then becomes a council house. And it just beggars belief that people have that sort of level of thinking. And I was trying to explain. And then I got called a tosser and a cock and a Tory. So then I pulled him up for being offensive. And then he said, so you're offended by being called a cock and a tosser and a Tory, are you? Well, is Tory being called a Tory so bad? And so that's a complex equivalent, where being called a Tory is the equivalent of being called a cock, right? So it's an NLP term. It's a term that people use in arguments. And if you watch politicians, some good learning here, folks. I'm not just having a rant here, so you need to really listen and dig down into what I'm talking about here. When you listen to a politician, what they'll do is they'll say three things in a row. The first two things will be truthful, and the third thing will be fake. It won't be truthful, right? So what happens is that when the other person says, well, that's just offensive, saying that the first two things, or the third thing, right? Then they'll pull you up and say those first two things that you offended by those two. Does that make sense? So they'll pull you up on the third thing, which is a complete bullshit lie and completely way out, completely out of the ballpark. And they'll pull you up on that one because they've used all three in the same sentence. It's really important to recognise, and I recognise that this is what this guy does. So if you want to win an argument, get three things, make the third thing really totally unreasonable, and then when you're talking about the first two things and they say, well, that's not fair, then you bring up the third thing. And it makes them look unreasonable, you see. And so that's exactly what this guy did. So anyway, so we were doing this, and he came up with these things about council houses, how normal houses becoming council houses. And then he got someone else involved because he tagged someone because he needed a bit of backup, obviously. So then this other guy comes on and he's talking about how everyone should work. And I'm going, well, actually, no, it's a choice, isn't it? Not everybody has to work. I was talking about it from a property investor's point of view and tax, you know, because property investors now get taxed on income, not profits. There's a big legal challenge called the tenant tax and so on. And so whenever you listen to this, that might have been resolved or not, who knows. So, but I just thought it was really interesting how I got sucked into this argument for about an hour. And then I just find it really interesting. Like, we have keyboard warriors. And they would never say this stuff to your face, because if they did, you'd sort of knock them on their ass, frankly. And sorry if that's a bit aggressive for you, but but you'd never sit there being spoken to like this in real life. But for some reason on social media, it's acceptable. And then something else happened just last week on Facebook, and Kobe Bryant, who's a basketball player in America, he's had a 20-year career, very, very, very successful. He's number three on the all-time scoring list. He scored more points than Michael Jordan, and he's behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and who's the other guy? Karl Malone. Anyways, really good players, just retired, used to play for the Lakers, end of an era type of thing, scored 60 points on his last basketball game, ended up winning the game. Totally amazing stuff, right? So, one guy on Facebook, he was saying, anybody who likes Kobe, is a loser. Kobe is an adulterer. Okay. So Kobe had, about 10 years ago, he cheated on his wife. Obviously, he's in the public eye and it's all over the newspapers. And for me, I hate this stuff because, you know, if you happen to cheat on your partner, then that's between you, your wife or your husband, and your partner. It's not between you, social media, and the media and journalists. And I hate journalists, by the way. So if you're a journalist, I apologise about this. And I have some friends who are journalists, but I hate the concept of a journalist, and I hate what they do. So I just said, what's with all the Kobe hating? And this guy just went off on a rant, and he called me simple and stupid. And I was like, God, you would just never say this face to face. So in the end, I just blocked him. And I just thought, it's amazing, isn't it, how we get sucked into social media and having these totally irrelevant arguments. I mean, so Kobe Bryant cheated on his wife 10 years ago. Like, so what? Why does that have to affect my life now? Why does that affect this guy on social media's life? Why does it affect anybody's life? There's stuff right now about a celebrity couple who've had a threesome, and that there's a super injunction in place, and the British media are not allowed to name this person. I actually know who it is because you can find out if you go onto the US media, and I found out by accident. I was not interested in this stuff whatsoever. If this person wants to do anything like this, then that's fine. It's completely up to them. It's not fine, but it's up to them, right? It's up to them and their partner and whatever they're comfortable with, whatever. It's nothing at all to do with me, to do with you. But of course, the British media comes and says that it's in the public's interest. Well, it's not, is it? It's in the interest of selling papers. Because it's like when you drive past a car accident, and you know you're not supposed to look, but you can't help but look, right? Rubbernecking, I think it's called. You can't help it, right? And I think that's human nature. But if it wasn't splashed all over newspapers, no one would care, right? No one cares. This is the point. But on social media, and this is the point, right? I'm building up to this. This is the point I want to get to. In the olden days, we used to have TV, and we would shout at the TV. We would shout at the TV, wouldn't we? And now we don't shout at the TV. We shout at each other. And and we call each other names, not nice names at all. And we, you know, tapping away on a keyboard, and we get carried away. 3 hours have gone by. Nobody has ever won an argument on social media. No one in the history of social media has persuaded someone that religion, they're religious and you're not, that you have persuaded them that their God doesn't exist, and they've said, do you know what? You're right. And neither has a religious person to an atheist convinced an atheist to give up atheism and become religious. It's just not happened. It has never happened. I've not seen any evidence, that's for sure. And maybe it's happened once or twice. Goodness knows how that would ever happen, right? But it doesn't happen. And so this is what happens. You put something out there and someone comes up and says, I disagree. And then it turns into an argument. And it's like, I don't give a shit if you disagree. It's not for me to be concerned as to whether someone agrees or disagrees. Just as it's not for you to care about what I think of you. Right? It's not relevant. What I think of you is totally irrelevant. And in fact, this is one of the things that's stopping you from being ultra mega fucking successful. Sorry about the language. I'm not. I don't care. Right? Some people will love it. Some people will hate it. Some people will be going, yeah, Dan, go for it. Other people going, oh, that's just so offensive. I'm not going to listen to this podcast anymore. And it's fine. It's totally fine. Whichever floats your boat is perfectly fine. But my job is to pass the message out. Your job is to interpret that message with all the experiences and knowledge that you've got and utilize that message either for something inspirational, motivational, that goes, yeah, I can do this. Or for you to go, no, I'm not going to listen to that podcast anymore. It's fine. Whichever works for you is fine. I hope you stay on because we love you. But whichever you do, it shouldn't impact my message, just as it shouldn't impact your message. The other thing is, when we're talking about dreams, and we put this on social media and we put this out to our friends, stop sharing your dreams with people who are not on that level. They're on a level that they get up, they go to work, they come home, they have a pension, they die. That's it. Stop sharing your dreams with those types of people, because this is what you'll hear. Well, I wish you luck with that. Whenever you hear that, cross them out of your phone book and don't speak to them again. Well, good luck with that. It's bollocks. What they mean is that's not going to happen. What you want to surround yourself with is people who go, what can I do to help you? Now, they're the type of people that you want. But just going back to social media, Facebook is worse than TV. It's a form of mass control. Think about how often do you log into Facebook? Or are you already logged into Facebook? If I open up the browser here, my Facebook is closed, but I've got Twitter open right now. But my Facebook is normally open. It's definitely open on a tab on my iPhone, Samsung phone that I have now. But so Facebook's a form of mass control. And it's a form of mass control that says buy more stuff. And we call it social media. It's actually quite a negative experience if you go on social media. It's quite negative, isn't it? Certainly when you start to stick your head up above the parapet and you do quite well and you tell people what you do and you try and inspire people, your head's going to get blown off. People are always taking pot shots, always constantly taking pot shots. So I'm at the stage now where I'll just post something, people come on and make comments, and I don't make any comments back. Because I know that people are going to take pot shots. And that's not what my experience is that I would like in life, you know. But what's interesting is with social media is we call it social media. You're not on social media, so you're not sociable then. So if you're not using it, it's got a negative connotation. And isn't it interesting how suddenly, sort of 10 years on from Facebook, we're now in this form of mass control of buy more stuff. Disguise it as social media, which is supposed to be positive, and it's actually quite a negative experience. Adverts all over the place, lots of motivational, inspirational quotes from people who are not very motivational or inspirational. People who actually, when you get to meet them, are quite depressing and can't get out of bed and don't do the goddamn work you're supposed to do in the first place. So social media it's turned for me. It's just not the thing that I thought it was. And so we move back to real relationships. Or we should be moving back to real relationships. But the number of real relationships that people have is definitely on the decline, because now we're on social media. We don't need real relationships because we have social media. That's crazy. It's even pervaded our communication styles. I'll Facebook you, meaning I'll send you a message on Facebook. So look, I think what you need to do with social media is there's a couple of rules that you need in place. So I spend as little time as possible on social media now. I check it, like everybody does, usually first thing in the morning, sometime in the morning, like late morning, in the afternoon, and at night time, tea time, that sort of thing. Usually during a bit of Netflix, whatever. But I also have extra rules. I do post, but my post, the number of postings has actually gone down quite considerably. And I also don't comment as much as I used to. Certainly when somebody else posts something, you know, they'll post a quote. What is it? It's the Bruce Lee quote. Action without knowledge is useless, I think it is. That's not even Bruce Lee. That's Go F. But unfortunately, I've seen it doing around so many times on Facebook as Bruce Lee. Well, Bruce Lee never even said that. So, you know, you want to point that out because it's factually, it's incorrect. I don't even do that stuff anymore. Why? You're just going to get abused. So there's no point in doing it. So just let people meander in their misinformed manners. And this is one of the other problems with social media is half the shit that goes out there is completely inaccurate. It's complete codswallop. I saw a post today, and it was a Deepak post. I'll see if it's still in my feed. It's not in my feed, unfortunately. And the Deepak Chopra was talking about we are beings of infinite unconsciousness, and that we are in alignment with our third dimension vibration. What does that even mean? Complete and utter codswallop. People share it because we're infinite in our consciousness. I don't know what that means. But our third dimension, like the third dimension, we've got four dimensions, up, down, left, right, back and forth, right? So I don't know which the third one is out of that. We've got fourth dimension of time. I mean, what even does that mean? It's complete and utter codswallop and everybody shares it. And so my barriers have gone right up on social media because no one ever checks stuff. So there's a website called Snopes. There's a good old rant today. I'm quite enjoying this one. There's a website called Snopes.com. And if you're unsure about something, you can go on there. And there's so much stuff. You know, you may have seen another one where it's pictures of the UK Parliament and where they're discussing minimum wage or they're discussing the NHS or disability benefits. And there's hardly anybody in the room at the Houses of Parliament. And then when we're discussing the MP's pay rise, the room is packed and it's standing room only. And everybody shares it because it's disgusting, right? And you're right, it is disgusting. Only it's not true. If I took a picture of when the place was busy and they put one comment on it and they put other pictures when it wasn't very busy and put up different comments on it and they did it as one large picture and sent it out and people take that as being absolute gospel truth and it's just absolutely not true at all. And nobody ever checks it. They just share it. There was a time when I'd go out and just say, actually, that's not quite right. It's fake. I just don't bother doing that anymore. Cause you just get abuse. So look, a couple of things, stem from this. So a couple of things I want you to take away. The first thing is that these two things I've talked about, the first thing being about not being able to get stuff done. And not getting started and not getting through a full day's work because, you know, the mindset's not there. And then, so that's the first thing. And then the second thing being about social media. These two are actually interconnected. And I just don't know if you've picked up on this yet. And I hope that you have. I hope you just, I get goose pimples on the back of my arms when I get, breakthroughs, realizations, and I've just had them now, which is really freaky. But anyway, it happens quite a bit for me. Don't ask why, it just happens. I get goose pimples on the backs of my arms. So the realization that these two items are absolutely interconnected. Spend less time on social media, and the time that you spend not on social media can be done either doing the stuff that you know you should be doing or actually working on mindset or just going out for a walk. you know, if you leave social media, leave social media for a week, when you come back, do you know what's changed? Nothing. Nothing has changed. Nothing from a week ago has changed on social media than this week. Maybe some things in the news you might have missed out on. But living here in Spain, we don't watch the news in England anyway. It's a really negative thing for me, watching the news. And it's all made up, by the way. I don't know if you realise that. From someone's filter, usually the editor. So who do you think is typing the words on the screen for the newsreader to read? Who is that? What's their filters? What's their perceptions? What about the editor? What about Rupert Murdoch? And, you know, he owns quite a lot of the large media organisations. Do you think he's got particular views on things by any chance? Of course he has. Do you think that trickles down? Unlike trickle-down economics, which doesn't work, the other stuff definitely does work. Why do you think British Gas is full of idiots? It's because the top guy is a complete tosspot, that's why. The guy that runs it. It all trickles down, folks. So I just need you to understand the two connections between your mental state of mind and what you're feeding it right now. Because what you're feeding it is mass control disguised as social media, and you're feeding it stuff that's on the telly, like the news and so on. I don't really have an issue. If you want to watch Netflix and want to watch Breaking Bad, we just had, just last week, at my house, one of my houses in Hare Hills in Leeds, the guy's moved out, wasn't paying rent, and we managed to get into the property, he's left, and there was like a ton of weed in the front room. And so we phoned the police comes round, it's a cannabis farm effectively, we might talk about it in another podcast, because it's quite an interesting one really. Anyway, the police just didn't care. We made a few jokes about Breaking Bad, about being Heisenberg and so on, but that just shows how desensitized. So, you know, my sort of issue with things like Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead is that we become very desensitized. You know, if you see someone eating another person because they've turned into a zombie, you'd just be like, oh look, zombie. You wouldn't be, yeah, it'd be pretty horrific as well, I'm sure, right? But you'd be like, oh look, a zombie. The fact that it was a zombie now wouldn't, you know, I've been watching a lot of zombie stuff, so I'm like quite desensitized to it. And so this is the problem with TV, is you do become quite desensitized to it. So, but stay off the news, stay off or limit access to social media. Remember, this is mass control. And usually it's buy more stuff or have an argument or look at funny videos of cats and dogs. That's what happens. But these two things between your mental state of mind, and if you look at the stats for mental states of mind and how that's going right now, there's definitely an increase in the negative state of mind for people struggling with this stuff. It's all totally interconnected. Get out, go for a nice little drink with some friends, a good group of friends, go bowling, go running in a group, go join a triathlon club, go shooting archery as a group of people, go learn a new skill, pottery, salsa dancing, all that stuff, right? That's real life, not social media, sitting on Facebook at night time. If you've got no friends to go out and do it with, go join a club, a team. I play basketball here in Spain. Very few speak English. I speak very little Spanish. We're going out for drinks on Friday. I have no idea what we're saying. but it will improve my Spanish, which actually improves with alcohol, surprisingly. And so we'll learn some new words. And that's what we do, right? We move to a brand new country, don't even speak the language. What do? We join a club, we meet new friends. That's how it works. I used Google Translate because we needed some firewood over winter. I used Google Translate to ask anybody if they knew anybody. We organised it and we got a ton of wood delivered for like 100 euros. Awesome. Much better than having to go and buy it from the local supermarket, which costs a lot more. And it's dead easy to do, right? But social media is not real life. Facebook isn't real life. Somebody calls you a tosser on Facebook, it's a reflection on them, but it makes you feel bad. And I know that people go, well, you should just ignore it. You can't ignore that stuff. You know, time after time after time of it being said, it's very difficult to ignore that stuff, so you need to start limiting it. But you get yourself out in front of real friends, they will never say that to your face. Even they might even think it behind your back, right? But they never say it to you. You might not even know. But on Facebook, they'll come out and tell you. And it's just not pleasant at all. So look, get off Facebook. start looking at what can you do, first of all, to improve your time management, and second of all, to start improving your mental state of mind. I hope that's useful for you today. I've really enjoyed it. It's just been playing on my mind for the last couple of weeks because I've been going through some of this stuff myself, and I've come through that and out the other side and back again, and it's really nice to be back again, you know. But I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope that's really useful. I'd love your feedback, and if you're going through some of this stuff as well, drop me a line, because I know a lot of people are, and you know, if you've got any questions and that sort of thing, I'd love to go through them, get them on a podcast and talk through them, because this is my way of being able to communicate, if you like. This is my way of getting out to the masses, and people listen, and it's wonderful. And people, I get an email back. I got an email just yesterday, in fact, or the day before, saying how inspirational the podcasts were, and that I rock. And that was lovely. It's really nice. It's much better than being called a tosspot on Twitter, that's for sure. So, please give me feedback. I hope you're well, and we'll catch up with you in the next podcast. Thanks very much. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.